And welcome to the Ted Nossen Brewer Show, this final broadcast of the 2016 year. I want to thank you guys for being with us today as we cover health topics and world news. Today, my co-host is going to be Sharon. Austin is a little under the weather today. I think he got a little bit too many chemtrails up in Georgia last week. He was telling me about that. And so that's kind of yuck. So he's going to be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be back with us on Monday. And his voice is a little bit raspy, so he didn't want to be on the air. And it's good to have you again with me, my fine, wonderful wife of 33 years, Sharon.
I thank you so much. I feel the same way about you.
And, you know, here's the thing, guys. Let me talk about my marriage with Sharon for just a second, because I got so many news stories to talk about, but I got to talk about this. You know, Sharon and I learned a long time ago, and I'm going to give you a little bit of advice here for how we've been married for 33 years. Some of you may have been married for 40 or 50 years, and you can give me some advice to help me. But here's what we did. We have little code things, little words that we use. For instance, today Sharon's taking down Christmas decorations. Well, I like kind of leaving them up until the middle of January, but that's kind of tacky, and she is right. And so today we have like two trees, one in the living room, one in the family room, and I told her I'd like to leave both trees up. And her response to me was, Ted, it's really important to me to take the one tree down to the family room and leave the other one up in the living room. Now, that's a code word. Really important to me means that I don't have to win this unless it's absolutely one of those life and death things that has to be done. In other words, if someone wants to do something that you know is going to be absolutely horrible and they say that, you'll override it. But otherwise, just let them do whatever they want to do, because it really doesn't matter. In the great scheme of things, a month from now or 2 months from now or 5 years from now, will make a bit of difference if we left one tree up or two trees up for the next couple of weeks. And so we have a little thing that we do. If she says it's really important to me, or I say it's really important to me, the other one immediately capitulates unless it's one of those deals that has to be decided. And that's very rare that it's actually that important that somebody doesn't get that. Plus, we've learned that there are certain places we don't go in our marriage. There are certain things we simply don't talk about that is offensive to each other, and we just don't talk about it. We have things in our past that we've done over the years, over the last 33 years, that probably weren't the best things to do. And we've agreed, by discussing these things openly, let's not talk about that anymore. In other words, let's not toss the past back in each other's face, because it's just not healthy to do that. And I'm not talking about anything serious. I mean, you know, we haven't like committed adultery or anything weird like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, getting in an argument, you say something you shouldn't say, that kind of stuff. So that's the kind of thing that we've done for the past 33 years that's really given us a superlative marriage. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Plus, we work on it every single day. Every morning when I get up, I say, good morning, beautiful. She says, good morning, wonderful. Those are like the first words that come out of our mouth. You say, well, that's all silly and all kind of weird. It's too much like Andy of Mayberry and all that. Okay, I'm just telling you what we do.
And we have this, it works.
We've got this incredible marriage of 33 years, and you may want to try it, may not. The other thing is this, communication. If something you're doing is bugging your spouse, just talk to them about it. Now, if that doesn't work, then pray about it. Don't continue to nag. That's real important. Don't nag. And that goes both directions, for guys and for girls. Just let it go. Let the Holy Spirit deal with that person and keep on going down the road. Don't major in minors. At this point in time, I don't care if she puts the cap back on the toothpaste. I don't care if the toilet paper roll is turned up or turned down on the dispenser. I don't care. None of that thing means anything to me. But here's what I do care about. I want the kitchen clean all the time. I don't want any dirty dishes in the sink. I want the floors swept and clean, because I'm German, remember, that I like things being really clean and neat and tidy. And when I was young here in Florida, I learned in a house that was like 100 years old now, that if you basically don't take care of it and keep it real, real clean, we have things called roaches down here, and they get in the house, and I don't like using pesticides at all, so I like keeping things really clean so you don't have food source for these bugs. So I'm just a real clean kind of guy. I like everything really neat and perfect all the time. So she knows that, and so we work together. So yes, I may do the dishes, she may do the dishes, I may clean the countertops, she may clean the countertops, I may take out the garbage, she may take out the garbage, but she and I both realize there are certain things that are real important to me and certain things that are real important to her that I try to do. Like when we get up in the morning, she always asks me to help her make the bed, because we have a big king-size bed. We usually get up about around the same time. She'll say, hey, Ted, can you make your side of the bed? My response is always, absolutely yes, because you can do it in like 15 seconds together. It takes like 2 or 3 minutes when you do it individually. So it's just little things like that have made this huge difference in our lives. Now, Sharon, do you want to cover any of that stuff, too? Because I know you've got all kinds of little things you think about, too.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I won the toilet paper issue, finally.
You did do that. I was out of care. Well, okay, here's the thing. If you put it in, it's supposed to roll to the paper, is against the wall, and it rolls straight down. It's not supposed to go over the top from an engineering standpoint. But if you put it so it rolls over the top, and you have company, you can fold the toilet paper into a point, which I was completely and totally unaware of from an engineering standpoint. And you, and it looks more neat when a person shows up to use the bathroom. Oh, wow, the toilet paper is folded into a point. And finally, I just said, I don't really care if the toilet paper is pointed or not or how it unrolls. Sharon, whatever you want to do is fine with me when it comes to toilet paper. I don't care.
That's what happens when an engineering mind marries a designer mind. I mean, it just, you just have to give and take. But no, it's been a blessing for that many years. And it's just giving each other what they want when they want it and just, you know, thinking about each other. But, you know, we're starting a new year, and the most important thing is to remember, don't drag your past. We've got a whole new start now, especially our country. So your past isn't going to get you anywhere. I mean, you know, you have to look at it, learn from it, but don't keep dwelling on it. It's not worth it.
Well, it's not, because it doesn't do anything besides drag up bad feelings and bad memories, and that's all it does. Oh, by the way, you know, I thought I'd seen the lowest point yet for the Democrats when they were giving Hillary the questions through CNN and what they were doing with her. And that was pretty low, I got to admit that. But now, Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown has done something along with the California legislature that absolutely and totally blows my mind. Beginning on January the 1st, let me read you this article. It's by Allen. Beginning on January the 1st, prostitution by minors under the age of 18, will be legal in California. And yes, you read that right. SB 1322 bars law enforcement from arresting sex workers who are under the age of 18 for soliciting or engaging in prostitution or loitering with the intent to do so. So teenage girls and boys in California will soon be free to have sex in exchange for money without fear of arrest or prosecution. This terribly destructive legislation was written and passed by the progressive Democrats who control California state government with a two-thirds supermajority. To their credit, they are sincere in their belief that by decriminalizing underage prostitution is a good public policy that will help the victims of sex trafficking. Unfortunately, the reality is that the legislation of underage prostitution suffers from the fatal defect endemic to progressive left policymaking. It ignores experience, common sense, and most of all, human nature, especially its darker side. Now, I'm going to stop there from reading that. I'm going to give you my take on this. Prostitution is still illegal as far as in California. And if a man is caught who's over the age of 18 having sex, apparently, with one of these young girls or young boys nowadays, how sick that is, they'll be arrested for engaging in the act of solicitation or whatever they're going to be raised for, the John or whatever you want to call the girls who do this. So what's interesting about this is they're not even taking into consideration that in all of our high schools, we always had a girl or girls who ended up doing things because they liked having sex and they had different sex partners on a regular basis. And we, have, of course, have guys do that too. Now, what's interesting about this is now, if a girl's 15 or 16 years old and she decides that she can go down to the street corner and pick up some guys for $150, $250, $1,000 a night, that whatever, on the weekends to make some extra money, she can do that and she can't be arrested at all. It's legal. So if the girls who have been brought into the sex slave trafficking business decide to go on their own and try to get away from their pimp and flee where they are in New York or Vegas or wherever it is, and decide to do what they're going to do by themselves or even out of high school, they cannot be arrested. Or if it's a boy, they can't be arrested. Now, guys, think about this for a second. There's so many levels this is wrong on. It's unreal. Number one is trying to address child sex trafficking. Now, California is a huge state with child sex trafficking. It's also a huge state of pedophiles and gays. I mean, we all know that. I mean, it's not like we're trying to make something up here. So is New York. Now, what's interesting about this is we're forgetting the fact that a lot of the people who are involved in legislation, even in California and in Washington, we know, are involved in active pedophilia with minors. So now they've been given a green light. They can go in, and these girls aren't going to be charged, which will make it a lot more hush-hush in California, or these young boys aren't going to be charged, which will make it a lot more hush-hush. This is one of the most perverted testimonies of what our country in California has become. I mean, they cannot, let's say, cannot send your children to school now without massive immunizations in California. They have to do homeschool instead. They cannot have, they have a lot, many of their rights. They cannot own a detachable magazine weapon any longer, but they can let their 15-year-old daughters go out and screw themselves into a stupor every weekend to bring home extra money for the family or for themselves. I don't even know, Sharon, if it's the pornography, if it's the culture. I mean, we've got children now that are 6 and 8 years old, 10 years old, looking at pornography, both girls and boys. The pornography has become an epidemic. George Bush told us that he was going to have a war on porn, which is almost all based out of California. It's almost all controlled by the Jewish mafia out there in California. And what's interesting about this is that you think, okay, this is crazy. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. Now, the nuttiest part about all of this is no one's looking at the long-term ramifications of allowing a girl to become a prostitute, what that's going to do to her self-esteem, and the fact that even if she stops doing it when she's 18 years of age, the reputation that she's going to acquire unless she leaves the area, the diseases that she may get, that she may never be able to have children, and the fact that from a societal standpoint, doing that at such a young age is wrong, even doing it at an old age is wrong. We know that. So it just creates this problem with her, because after she's had dozens or hundreds or thousands of sex partners while she's a teenager, this could be possible. Prostitutes do that all the time. She's going to have an incredibly messed up psyche. Her self-worth is going to be horrible. Almost all these girls who go into pornography, into this X-rated film business out in California, are promised film careers if they do this, that they'll be noticed, they'll be seen, that they'll get YouTube views. And invariably, these girls ruin their lives. Many of them get addicted to drugs. Many of them commit suicide. And many of them are murdered. They're found dead. I don't even know what to say about California, Sharon, so I've pontificated here for about 5 minutes on this. What do you think about this from a mother's standpoint?
All I know is if I lived in California, there were at least 40-something other states that I probably would choose to live in. I would get out of there as fast as I could. Now, I know some people don't have a choice because of their work position and several other reasons, but it's becoming so liberal out there that I don't even want to go there anymore. I mean, some people have to, you know, they have meetings and stuff, but my goodness, Ted, it's just gotten over the top liberal. It just goes back to as it was in the day of Noah, so will it be with the return of the Son of Man. I mean, every form of depravity, and it's sad when you hear something now with the alternative news, because you know we report it. I'm not shocked anymore, and that bothers me, that nothing shocks me anymore. But the pornography industry has gotten so big, and it's affecting our children. I mean, Austin got a phone call one day, and I don't know if the lady was a teacher or if she knew a teacher or what, but they walked in the school restroom. A girl had her face in a boy's lap, had somebody behind her, and there was a guy filming her. I mean, they see it on the internet, and it just, oh gosh, it angers me. I just sometimes can't think about it because I don't want to raise my cortisol. But you know, we've got to come together as Christians, as patriots, and as soon as Trump gets into office, let him know that we want money put into anti-pornography. Now, I know that's a big, big thing to do, but something's got to be done with this access to the internet where these young children can see things that as adults we didn't even know existed. I mean, just so bad that to the point where it's ruining the culture and it's ruining the generation right now, Ted. I mean, God didn't intend for this to be this way.
Well, you know, George Bush Jr. told us he'd have a war on porn, and of course, then 9/11 hit,
right,
which was orchestrated by rogue members of the federal government, the CIA, the Mossad, and who knows who else. I mean, gosh, Saudi Arabia, just pick a number. I mean, we all know that there was never a missile or never a plane that hit the Pentagon. I mean, what does a 757 hit a Pentagon and make a hole 16 feet across? Where are the wing marks and the tail marks? I mean, we know that it was a missile that hit the Pentagon. We know that. I mean, good Lord, we know that. I mean, you have to be like living in a cave not to know that. I mean, wings don't fold up on these planes. They leave wing marks. There's not a perfectly cylindrical hole. So we know something happened with 9/11 that the government's completely and totally lied about, just like they did with the Kennedys when he was killed, both of them, and just like they did with the Bay of Tonka. So we know these false flags occur all of the time. And the crazy thing about this is, Sharon, I mean, you know, I'm more concerned about the mental effect that this is going to have on these young girls because, quite frankly, they're going to be all used up. And that's a term that's used by these kids because what's going to happen is they're going to just not trust guys. And they're going to be involved in all types of, all manners of just filth. And what's going to do, Sharon, the porn industry is based out of California. And you're going to have all these girls now underage turning tricks and getting paid for it. What type of perfect segue is that to go straight into the porn industry when they turn 18 years of age? Because that's still policed a lot because these girls have to be 18 years old to be in that porn industry. Otherwise, the people distributing these films go to jail. So what's interesting about this is that these girls now are going to be used to having sex for money. 14, 15, 16, 17, could be 10, 12, 13, 14 year olds. Who knows? Who knows? It's so perverted now. And now all of a sudden they have all these sex partners. It's just a perfect step for them to step right into the porn industry in California immediately when they turn 18 years of age. Never stopped the lifestyle. Now they're 18. They're in the porn industry, and now they're legal to be doing this because they're doing "quote unquote" filming of this. I mean, it's so weird and so twisted and so messed up, and we've allowed our children to do it. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you this: children don't need a cell phone that allows them access to the internet. Period. At all. Never.
Amen.
If you want to get them a flip phone and have the internet turned off and allow them to do texting and maybe some photographs, that's one thing, but you need to turn off the internet permanently in your plan with your carrier, and they'll do that for you. They don't need to have access to this debauchery and filth. You have people like Britney Spears, who's so messed up, it's unbelievable. She does a satanic video here a few weeks ago. We talked about that. I think it was called Sleepover. Please don't watch it. And what she's in a situation where, you know, she's actually crawling to Lucifer on her hands and knees. I mean, and just all manner of sex and vile stuff being, you know, in the back. You've got Miley Cyrus, who's one of the biggest perverts. I mean, Billy Ray Cyrus has to be unbelievably ashamed of her, riding a giant penis at her concerts. You've got Katy Perry,
who basically does
full blown Illuminati ritual halftime performances at the Super Bowl, invoking the powers of Lucifer. You've got Madonna doing Lucifer performances at the Super Bowl, bowing down to the Dark Angel. You see all of this stuff in Hollywood. I talk about it all the time on my shows, but now you see the culmination when the Bible says in the book of Genesis that all of their thoughts were evil all of the time. And this is what's happening. All of the thoughts out there in California become so perverted. I know we had a neighbor who lived here beside us for a while, and they had moved to California because they liked the climate. And the climate out there is absolutely wonderful. The chemtrails are just as bad as they are here. And I remember they came back after a few years, and I asked them, I said, why did you guys move back to Florida? They said, well, we couldn't take the society there. It was too liberal. It was too everything. It was like, it's just a big mess living out there because it was so radically liberal. I've got a friend of mine, dear friend, he's married to an incredibly liberal woman, and he's a conservative. And of course, he votes for Trump. She votes for Hillary. And in the meantime, she's so angry that Hillary loses that she has literally disassociated herself with many friends and family members because they went against her demands for them to vote for Hillary. I tried to discuss it with her, and absolutely, it was just like hitting a block wall. This morning, I sent a text out to my friends that are on my taxes. And she happens to be one of the people who got that text, and it was on this legalization of prostitution for minors in California, and she immediately sent me a text back within seconds, please remove me from this group text. Boom, done. Done. Now, guys, here's the thing. You know, when Obama won 8 years ago, I was physically nauseous. I was very upset. could not believe it. But McCain ran an unbelievably anemic campaign. He didn't want to win. He didn't try to win. It didn't matter to him. The second time when Romney ran, I wasn't excited about it because Romney's Mormon. I got that. I'm not going to sit here and get into a big Mormon debate with you guys because some of the stuff they believe, I don't believe. But it's okay. You know, we thought we'd go ahead and, you know, we'd try to put him in, but he ran another anemic campaign. And then when he allowed himself to basically be eviscerated by the commentators on the debates when he was debating Obama, he basically didn't show himself at all as a leader and just basically capitulated. And of course, we know the election machines were rigged for that. We saw that. We saw the results from that after the election. Now, whether or not it was enough to swing the election, I don't know. But all I know is the conservatives stayed home by the droves because they didn't want to vote for Romney. So we have a situation now where we have Trump wins. And I know Trump's not perfect. I got that. But he's not Obama either. And Obama's not perfect. Now, the sheriff out in Arizona is basically going out and showing the full forensic research on the fact that this birth certificate was a fake. And it's kind of like a little too late. You know, I told you guys, remember I told you guys months ago when Trump said the birth certificate was legitimate, he felt it was, that he was going to drop that issue. I told you guys, that's simply not true. It's not legitimate. Okay, it's not legitimate. He's a Kenyan or whatever. If he's not a Kenyan, we at least know he doesn't have a legitimate birth certificate for the United States or whatever he is. Maybe he's Indonesian or whatever. I don't know what he is. And, you know, we all know that he had a bunch of gay lovers in Chicago, that he frequented those facilities all the time as far as those bars and men's clubs, and that several of those guys were found murdered as soon as Obama was nominated and elected for the presidency. I mean, you can look that up online. We know that. We know that Michelle Obama has a mysterious bulge in her dresses that nobody seems to know what it is. They speculate. That all seems all strange to me. And the thing about it is this. We've got a group of perverts in the White House right now that we've tolerated for 8 years. We didn't go out and pitch fits, raise holy cane about what was going on. We didn't. Now, we got on the conservative radio bandwagon, and we said, look, we're going to tell the people the truth. The mainstream news, which is run by the Rothschilds, which is a communist-controlled party, who are basically the same ones that overthrew Russia, they're going to tell us what they want to tell us. They're going to skew the news, and it's going to all be a bunch of lies. So we started doing the show several years ago, and we have a huge audience with the show. And by the way, thank you for listening. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, we now are beginning to realize that, you know, we finally have a president who hopefully could try to do something. But we didn't riot and burn cars and shoot police and all that stuff when Obama won. We didn't do that, like the Democrats are doing. The Democrats are actually hiring groups of people to go out and start riots. They're already saying they're going to do the same thing for the nomination when it occurs next month. Now, the whole thing about all of this is that I don't understand why they have to act like children. You know, we have a democratic process. We're a republic in the United States. We're protected by our laws. We had a Bill of Rights, which has been eviscerated under Bush and under Obama. And so we have to realize that we have to try to restore the republic or it will cease to exist. And while the Democrats who claim to be, quote, liberals, but Thomas Jefferson was a liberal, but he wanted freedom for men. He didn't want to be held by rules. I guess I'd call it more of a libertarian mindset. It's kind of like people are always saying to me, you know, what do you think about gays? And I said, I don't think about gays. And I said, what do you mean? I don't, you know, Sharon, you know that's true. I know. They don't even show up on my radar. I don't care anything about it. I don't care what they do. You think it's wrong? Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, this is not something that I have to determine. I don't have to judge a gay. I don't have to tell a gay you shouldn't do that. If they want to do what they're going to do, I can't tell them what to do. They're not going to listen to me anyhow because they've already chosen that lifestyle. You know, they have bigger problems when they die to try to deal with God Almighty and with Yahweh about this. Now, does that mean you don't believe a gay can change? I believe a gay can change, but most gays don't want to change. I don't care. See, again, it doesn't make any difference to me. That's not my agenda here. I'm not worried about that. They can do what they want to do. We've had gays around since Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not going to go away because we tell them they can't do something. They'll just go back in the closet.
That's the problem
is I don't want them going out and running our government and telling us that they have to have specialized rights to sodomize each other. I don't care if they sodomize each other. I don't approve of it. I think it's wrong for all kinds of different levels, from disease rates and the Bible and everything. But it's not my point to tell them that. I don't care. Me telling them that what they're doing is wrong isn't going to do anything besides make them angry. So what's the point of doing that? Let the Holy Spirit convict them, unless they have a reprobate mind. So that's how I look at all of this stuff, Sharon. I'm very libertarian in my philosophies now. Should people be gay? Absolutely not. Are they going to be gay, some of them? Absolutely yes. Nothing we can do to change that. That's what they've chosen to do. Are some people going to lie? Yeah. But I don't choose to associate with those people. That's what I was telling you guys the other night on the Hagmann Show. Who and what you associate with determines the future of your life. It determines the course of your life. If you choose to associate with people that lie and cheat and steal, chances are they're going to lie and cheat and steal to you. And chances are they're going to affect your life in a really negative way. If you choose to be around people that are extremely negative, chances are it's going to make you start thinking about negative things and doing negative things. So the way I look at all of this stuff is that just remember, you are who you associate with. I had David Craik, a good friend of mine who's a pastor, said it one time so succinctly. He said, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Let me repeat that. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Now, that's exactly what the Bible says. It says that bad company will corrupt good character. So guys, as we come into this new year, let us reflect for a moment. Let's reflect. You know, this show is going to be airing all weekend on the, you know, on the telephone loop that we have, so you guys can hear it on the phone all weekend. Let your friends hear it. Let's take the weekend to reflect, since New Year's is falling on a Sunday. Let's take the moment to reflect today and tomorrow as to what we've done with this year. What has that done to us? And is that okay? What are the things that we could have changed to make our life better? Are we the weight we need to be? Is our health good like it should be? Are we exercising like we should be? Are we reading the right books? Are we taking the right supplements? Are we hanging out with the right people? You know, a lot of people need to realize there's certain things in your behavioral patterns that need to change. I talked to my daughter, Lexis, today, who's 16 years old, and I told her, I said, why do you keep doing some of the things we ask you not to do? I mean, why are you creating this confusion in our house? Because, you know, we know that certain things are going to be bad for you, but why do you continue to do these things? And she says, well, because I kind of think I'm right and you're not. Now, isn't that the way it kind of goes with everybody? They kind of think that they're right and you're not. So here's the thing. Look at what you've done with your life. Look where you are right now. And if it's okay with you, then keep doing what you've been doing. If you're taking 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 different prescription drugs, you're 20, 30, 40, 100 pounds overweight, 200 pounds overweight, 300 pounds overweight, and you don't want to do that anymore, and you feel absolutely horrible and you can't breathe, maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe we need to change that around a bit. Maybe we need to figure out there's something else we can do besides what we've been doing. Same thing is true as far as money, as far as savings, as far as getting into debt, all of these things. And one of the things I've always taught my son, Austin, I've always told him this, I said, if you got to finance your house, it's one thing, because of course people don't have that kind of money to buy a house, pay for it. If you got to finance a car that runs well for reliable transportation so you go to and from the work, that's another thing. But if your car is paid for, it's still reliable, you don't need to finance another one, just keep driving that one. Secondly, don't finance toys. That's really important. If you want a boat, save up, save up, save up. Get all your credit cards paid off first. Save up, save up, save up. But don't start off with a brand new boat. Start off with a little boat. Start off what you can afford and pay cash for. You know, if you want to buy a four-wheeler, the same thing. Do that. Learn how to buy things after you have the money saved up for those things. And a lot of times what will happen is after you save the money up, suddenly the money seems to be something that took a while to get. And that thing doesn't look so great to you anymore to spend all that money and all that time you've done. And if you don't finance toys, it'll make life a lot easier. And that another thing, how many times do you eat out every week? I mean, think about all the stuff and all the money you've spent. How much money do you spend on cable and all the other things that we have now and all of the premium channels and all the stuff you spend your money on every month? Think about those things as this year progresses. If you're not where you want to be, what are you going to do to change that? What are you going to do to make your life and proceed towards your goals? Now, that's what I always try to do. I always try to set goals for myself every year. I have just activity goals. I have superordinate goals, I call them. You know, my 5-year objective goals, my 1-year objective goals. And I always operate towards those goals to try to achieve those goals in my life. I remember one time Zig Ziglar had a really good analogy, and he used it all the time. He goes, It was a major university. I forgot which one it was. I think it was Harvard or Yale. And they took a group of people from the 60s that had graduated from their college of business. And the ones that had written down their goals, there were like 3% of those people had written down their goals when they graduated from college. And those 3% had accrued a larger net worth than the other 97% combined because of what they had done. Now, I can't remember the exact study that he quoted on that, but it was one of those types of statistics. It was like overwhelmingly, wow, the goals are important. And people say, well, why are goals important? I say, well, if you don't have a goal, you can't hit anything. You might as well aim for the sky instead of the dirt. Let me give you another example. As we do a little goal setting thing here with you guys real quick. If I took any of you, I could have you, whether you've ever fired the bow and arrow or not, I could have you shooting the bow and arrow better in about 1 hour than the last gold medal winner of the Olympics in archery. You say, well, how's that possible, Ted? Well, here's what I have to do. Number one, there's several rules I got to lay out. Number one, I got to take an hour to show you how to shoot the thing. And number two, I've got to blindfold the gold medal winner. And I can't even let him know where the target is because of muscle memory. I got to spin him around in a circle until he falls down, then tell him to get up and try to hit the target. And you say to me, Ted, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. How can a man hit a target he does not see? Oh, guys, how can you hit a goal you do not have?
Right.
You've got to realize it's so important that you've got to set goals. I want to lose 2 pounds a month for the next 12 months. Okay, let's set it up. Let's get started on it immediately. What do you have to do? What do your calorie intakes need to be? How about if you want to lose 2 pounds a week? That's easy to do. That's pretty safe still. Say, I want to lose 2 pounds a week. Right now, Ted, I'm 100 pounds overweight. I'm going to commit right now. I'm going to pray and ask God to help me with this. And I want to lose 2 pounds a week for the next 52 weeks. And I'm going to drop 100 pounds because when I graduated from high school, you know, I weighed 180 pounds and I weigh 280 pounds and I don't want to weigh 280 pounds. Well, there's some things you've got to do. You've got to reduce your caloric intake to about 1,800 calories a day, 6 small meals, 300 calories each. You've got to be taking potassium iodine every day. You've got to get rid of fluoride and chlorine and bromine. You have to stop eating bread, pasta, rice, and potatoes. You can have all the chicken and vegetables you want to eat from those 300 calories until you're basically eating all day long every day. And you'll start losing 2 pounds a week for the entire year. You'll come back to me in a year and you'll say, Ted, I listened to you. I took the supplements. I changed the diet. I started doing exercise. I've dropped 100 pounds in a year. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Now you have to maintain the activity goals that you were doing to maintain the weight. In other words, if you go back to eating the junk that you ate to make you 100 pounds overweight, the next year you'll gain the weight back. It's just what happens. That's why most people lose the weight and gain it back, lose the weight, gain it back, lose the weight and gain it back. Because what happens is they don't put themselves on a diet. Rather, they don't change their lifestyle. There's a difference. So if you put yourself on a diet, you're always on a diet, you're always dieting. That's no good. You have to learn how to eat the right way, and then the weight never comes back. So the next question is this. Had I been eating that way to start with, would I have ever gained the weight? The answer is no. If you learn how to eat the right foods and the right portion sizes to start with, you never, ever have a problem gaining weight. This is one of the things that I was speaking to my 16-year-old about. She's had a tendency now to gain a pound a month for the last 18 months. And I told her, I asked her, I said, what's your goal here? I said, you're about 5'6", you're about 134, you're still okay. I said, but how big do you want to get? I said, do you want to get 200? You want to do 250? You want to do 350, 400? Where do you want to stop? She goes, well, Dad, I'm not planning on doing that. I said, well, no one ever plans to do that. I said, let's do the math. You gain 1 pound a month. You've done that for now for 16 months. And let's say you do that for 5 years. Now you're up 60 pounds. Now let's do it 10 years. Now you gained 120 pounds. So now you're 120 and 134. Now you're around, 250 pounds. Let's give it another 10 years. Now you'll be about 350. So now you'll be 36 years old, about 350 pounds. Where do you want it to stop, Alexis? I said, where do you want to go with this? How big do you want to get? Let's set your goals. She goes, I don't get any bigger. I said, well, then we need to set those goals too. I said, we've got to make sure that you understand that a pound a month is not okay. Say, it's just, well, it's not that much. I said, no, it's not every month. It's not. It's easy to gain that. It's only like a pat of butter every day extra. That's it. 300 calories a day extra. That's it. You know, not even that. It's 100 calories a day extra. 100 calories a day extra. Pat of butter. So you say, well, wow, that's just really easy to do. Yes. That's why you've got to learn to discipline yourself and not do these things. So anyhow, so I don't know how I got off on all that, but if you want to lose weight, use the HGH Stimulate. That's phenomenal because it helps to stimulate HGH. Use distilled water, half your body weight in fluid ounces every single day. Take the conjugated linoleic acid that we have. Very important. It's an incredible fat burner. Make sure you get off all fluorine and chlorine and bromine, which is bread products. That's so important. Take your potassium iodide every single day. Take your vitamin C, your B complex. It'll keep your moods up. Take 5-HTP with 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. And I'm going kind of quickly through this because it'll be on the archives and you can listen to it over and over and write it down. And it's one of the best weight loss protocols you're ever going to have, including eating those 6 meals a day. Now, the way you determine the amount of calories that you take in take your ideal body weight and multiply it by 10. So if you want to weigh 180 pounds, that's 1,800 calories a day divided by 3 is 6 meals of 300 calories each. If you want to weigh 120 pounds like you did back in high school, ladies, a lot of you, take 1,200 calories a day, divide it by 6, that's 6 200 calories a day, and just learn to eat like that throughout the day so you don't get hungry. And you'll be amazed at how quickly the weight just pours off of you. And if you continue to eat that way after you lose the weight will never, ever come back. So losing weight, feeling great, having tremendous energy is easy. In fact, I cover all of these things on YouTube. I have a program that I did with somebody. It's called The Top 5 Ways to Burn Body Fat. And it's got 150,000, 200,000 views already. And you can watch that on YouTube if you want to hear me talk about that. But guys, listen to me for a second. If you don't set goals, it's very difficult to accomplish your objectives, especially when you don't have an objective. What's your next step? What do you think about all this, Sharon?
Well, it just reminds me of a video we were watching last night about the millennials. And, you know, we'd have to go in a little detail about the video, but the thing is, we've got to teach our children to set goals. And when your children become teenagers, maybe, I wouldn't say young, the little tweens, but maybe 15, 16, have them listen to the CDs of Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar. And those are the pioneers, you know, of way back when, that just really help the kids learn how to set goals, how to motivate them. They've got stories, you know, that they can relate to, and have them start listening to that to get their mindset right, because this generation is so used to, I want it now, I'm going to order Prime, I'll have it tomorrow. It's just such instant gratification that we're seeing more and more and more teenagers, young children with obesity because of the world that they're in. Like it or not, we're in this world. We got to make the best of it, but we've got to help them change the way they think. And, you know, Ted, you listened to that video, too, about the millennials. What do you think about it?
Well, some of the things that he said in there I agree with. Some of the things I said, he's a little bit liberal on it, but he was hitting a lot of things right on the head. But, you know, he also said that people do things like drink alcohol when they get real young. And here's one of the things that I want to share with you guys, and this is important. You know, I spoke to a friend of mine the other day, and he had a child out of wedlock when he's like 20 years old. And I met the guy the other day who's like 43 years old now, and he found out when he was 16 years old that he had a father other than the one he thought was his father. This guy's really, really a nice guy, really nice guy, very smart man, 43 years old. And he said he started drinking because of this. Now, people don't realize when you smoke cigarettes or you drink, you trigger dopamine. Same thing happens when you drink diet sodas because you have an aspartic acid receptor in the brain, in the brain cells, and it triggers a release of dopamine. So basically, diet sodas is a brain entrainment product is what it is. So every time you drink it, you get a flush of dopamine, so you feel good. And that's why when you start drinking enough of it, you start having a degradation of dopamine, and then what ends up happening, you start having real bad problems with depression on aspartame drinks. A lot of people, mild to moderate forms of depression. Now, what's interesting about this is the young fellow told me that he was basically had gone and started drinking when he was young. Now, what happens, same thing happens when you drink. When you drink, your brain releases dopamine. It triggers it. It's that feel-good chemical in your head. And what happens if you're not careful, and I'm not saying this happened to this gentleman. I didn't talk to him about all this as far as what happened after that. But when you're young, when you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, and you trigger the dopamine response, it's one of the quickest ways to become an alcoholic, because what happens is as you get older, every time you start getting a little bit down or a little bit pressure, I got to have a drink. I got to have a drink. I got to get a beer. I need a shot of something. And so you want to go calm yourself down, trigger a dopamine release, and you do that. Or same thing with cigarettes. They trigger dopamine too. I got to have a cigarette. And so you get stressed out. You may have stopped smoking years before that, but you get stressed out and you start doing it. That's why these childhood habits that we develop, especially with these kids with pornography, because pornography triggers dopamine, triggers in the brain. When, you know, and plus with the boys, you know, it really affects them because there's what's called a nucleus accumbens in the back of the brain. And when they see a picture when they're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old of a naked woman, it triggers the same response in their brain as if they had been on a desert island for 30 days with no food. And now suddenly they see a table full of food to eat and they're starving to death. That nucleus accumbens does the same thing. It triggers that same response in the brain of that they needed to consume that photo, consume the picture, you know, and they get really turned on by this girl who's young. Well, these guys, when they do that, it triggers that dopamine in the brain, and it also triggers that nucleus accumbens. Very, very addictive trigger for these young boys who get started on pornography. So that's why we mentioned earlier in the show, when you've got kids, you've got to think about what you're doing around them and how to prevent them from doing certain types of things. If you have a house full of alcohol, or a house full of prescription drugs, or a house full of cigarettes, or a house full of porn, or any of this stuff, it's really important that you don't allow your children to be exposed to it or be involved in it. If you need to do this stuff and look at this stuff yourself and you're addicted to this mess, which you need to pray and get delivered from that, at least keep the stuff locked up in a liquor cabinet with a key that the kids can't open up the cabinet or whatever. Or if you're going to smoke pot, same thing. Pot is the same thing, the dopamine trigger. I mean, you've got to avoid this stuff with your children like it's the plague. It's so important because, guys, listen to me. You know, these kids get addicted to this stuff at a very young age. So when they get older, they start doing more and more of it. That's why I said you let these 10-year-olds start watching on their iPhones pornography, sex with a woman who's having sex with all these different guys, and all of a sudden she's thinking it's okay in her brain. You know, it's triggering the dopamine trigger in her. She sees this because she thinks these guys are really good looking. And so pretty soon she thinks, well, I can do this too. Now she can do it and be paid for it because it's legal in California where the porn industry exists. Think about this. This is where the porn industry is out of. So now they've got an entire group of now young girls that start looking at their iPhones at 10 because their parents didn't care. Parents gave it to them. And now all of a sudden, they're in the porn industry when they're 18 years of age, and they were prostitutes before that, whether or not the parents know about it or not. It happens all the time. Millions of young women have been sucked into this mess globally. And so the problem is we have to think through this as parents and as Christians, and we have to avoid certain types of foods. So far, certain types of foods. I'll just do my next article, Sharon. Certain types of behaviors. Here's what we need as far as food. This is how we avoid. This is the food we need to avoid in order to burn some more body fat. Talked about it before, high fructose corn syrup. They've now been linked to kidney stones. Here's five facts to know. Eating fructose increases the risk of kidney stones, period. Drinking soda dramatically increases kidney stone formation. Fructose can metabolize into oxalate, and some individuals are naturally predisposed to oxalate stones and will convert fructose into oxalate at a faster rate, which increases the amount of oxalate in blood, which can mix with calcium in the kidneys, causing kidney stones. Guys, ladies, if you ever pass a kidney stone, I've got friends who have done it. I've never had that problem because I don't drink sodas and stuff like this, and I don't do high fructose corn syrup. It's painful. Number four, it increases the risk of uric acid stones. And number five, children as young as 3 are developing kidney stones. Why is that? High fructose corn syrup exposure, Sharon. That's why so many of these kids who have been put on these formulas, which contain the high fructose corn syrup, are getting fat, developing kidney stones, coming down with diabetes at a very young age. All of this stuff's happening very, very young now because these children are being poisoned by high fructose corn syrup, and in most cases contains glyphosate. What do you think, babe?
Well, the thing is we have to realize is that fructose is not good for you. High fructose corn syrup is not good for you. And whoever buys the food in your family, whether it's your husband or you or your relationship or, you know, your boyfriend, whatever, you're out on your own, you're purchasing your own food, you've got to read the labels. Just like the other day when I had gone to Costco and I saw organic beef jerky, and I read it very quickly. And then, I got home, got it ready for Christmas to put in the stockings. And then, of course, Ted and Austin found out the natural flavors. I know natural flavors are really usually a flag that says don't buy it because I'm a really avid label reader. But you've got to just take the time to read the labels. Someone will bring me something and say, oh, would you like this? Or they'll give it to me as a gift. And the first thing I say, nope, I'm not touching it. I can't eat it because of the ingredients in there. We have got so many other sweeteners that we can use for sweetening tea or whatever, or lemonade, or using in recipes. And we're going to be doing that when we get the cookbook finished, the new book that's coming out. But you've got to stay away from fructose. I know we, years ago in the health food industry, you know, it was healthier to use fructose instead of sugar. Well, then you find out there's problems with that. The high fructose corn syrup is the one that's so bad. But you can use monk fruit. You can use stevia. You can use coconut sugar There's just other alternatives. So don't quit using certain products or certain, let's say, foods. Just change some of the ingredients in there, and you're not going to have the issues with the obesity and all the problems the high fructose corn syrup causes.
And plus, high fructose corn syrup turns the brain chemical off in the brain that tells you that you're full, and it turns the brain chemical on in your brain that tells you that you're hungry. So you eat larger and larger and larger amounts of it because you're still hungry. And the manufacturers know this. That's why they use it, because it makes you eat more of their product, consume more of their product. It makes you obese because you're basically not thinking about the product because you're just hungry all the time, because you really are hungry because your brain's telling you that you're hungry because you've shut that mechanism off in your brain telling you that you're full. That's why it's real important to eat smaller meals slowly with small bites and chew the food really well. And what that does, that allows your stomach to tell your head that you're full. Because if you just gorge a bunch of calories very quickly, what ends up happening is you don't have a response time available to the brain to tell the stomach, and all of a sudden you feel like, oh gosh, I'm bloated. Well, you didn't have to be bloated. If you'd eaten half that amount of food more slowly with small bites, you'd have been just as full, and you wouldn't have had half the, you'd only had half the calories in. By the way, Germany now, in order to capitulate to the religion of peace, is starting to close down New Year's celebrations all over Germany in preparation of Sharia law. That's how it begins. These folks come in, they basically start overtaking the culture, they start massive reproductive cycles, 7, 8, 9, 10 wives within 20 to 30 to 40 years. Germany, in fact, it won't be that anymore with Germany. Germany will be a Muslim nation within 20 years. By the time I'm 80 years old, if I'm still doing this show, I will say to you, Muslims are now the majority in Germany. Thank you, Angela Merkel, who I'm sure will be long dead by then, or she'll be on some type of really weird life support that they're giving the globalists. So the whole thing about this is, guys, we don't need to mix these cultures. It's just simply, it's not something that needs to be done. And here's another article. Rapper Nick Cannon, and I've said this before, I spoke about this to a primarily African-American group in Washington, D.C., blocks away from the White House, summer a year and a half ago, and we addressed a huge group up there for a huge meeting that we had. And rapper Nick Cannon says that Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood to exterminate the Negro race. And that's pretty much the truth. And rapper Nick Cannon has not been shy about his disgust at Planned Parenthood and its eugenics roots. In a recent interview with Vlad TV, Cannon explained why the nation's largest abortion provider disturbs him and why he's had been so vocal about it. Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger and all the people who follow eugenics and all that stuff, it was all about cleansing, Cannon told Vlad TV. Margaret Sanger said she wanted to exterminate the Negro race and that she was going to use her organization that she founded to do so. In November, Cannon also described Planned Parenthood as a modern-day eugenics protocol for black Americans and described its work as population control. He's exactly right. He mentioned how the abortion group targets blacks and other minorities by placing many of these abortion facilities in minority neighborhoods. Cannon was almost one of them. The rapper said that his mother considered aborting him while he was in the womb, but chose life instead. Now, I'm going to say something else about this. Margaret Sanger actually went a step further. She told her followers to go to the black pastors and start supporting them financially to tell them to promote abortion at the abortion clinics and for eugenics. And it's absolutely nuts what this woman did and how she has literally, out of the 60 million people that have been aborted in the United States, probably 40 million have been black. I mean, if the blacks had allowed themselves to have their population growth that they could have had through, you know, without Planned Parenthood, and they could have been as educated as they are now in many of the areas that have gone to college, then what would have happened is they'd have been a much bigger impact in the United States, even from a voting bloc. But remember, eugenics was started in the United States. I'm going to repeat that. Eugenics, population control, was started in the United States back in the 1800s. It then shifted over, and it's all because of Darwinism. And we talked about that yesterday with DNA and how you're not a victim of your DNA and you don't have to necessarily have cancer if your parents had cancer. Listen to that show from yesterday. It was very, very good on that, by the way. And listen to the show I did on that on the Hagman Show on Wednesday night. It was extremely in detail about all that. It was a full hour on that yesterday. It was like 10 minutes. But what happens is this. The eugenics protocol basically said that there are races out there that are genetically inferior to white people. This is what Darwin taught. Darwin was a huge geneticist, he wanted to reduce the population by any way he possibly could of the inferior species. I mean, they did, but in Ireland, they did huge experiments and killed thousands and thousands of children with vaccinations, basically just doing experiments on them. The same thing they did with the Canadian children that were basically tribal ancestry, Indian children up in Canada. There's one gravesite out there outside of a Catholic church out there. 50,000 children were killed. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that we're talking about, but you guys can Google it, and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. So the eugenics protocol then moved into the United States, started in the United States, and then it moved from here into Nazi Germany with the eugenics protocol there. And it was also continuing to grow in California all the way through the beginning of the 19th century and all the way up into Hitler's time. In fact, Hitler got a lot of his teachings and writings and beliefs from Darwin and also from Sanger. So, guys, it's a real mess when you stop and look at the truth about all of this stuff and how it has shaped our society. Because remember, if we look at a human being as just a blob of tissue that has no value whatsoever, and we're willing just to abort that tissue, what does it say about a child who's just been born that maybe doesn't have the right hair color, or maybe doesn't have the right skin color, or maybe doesn't have the right, you know, eye color? And you say, well, I don't want that. Well, how about they're not the right sex like they do in China? They used to routinely kill little girls when they were born in China because they didn't want little girls. They would kill them after they were born while they were alive and already had been birthed because it's okay for them to do that. Now, whether that policy is continuing in China, I have absolutely no idea. But, guys, it's one of those things that we have to realize that if we do not take a stand against this stuff, it's just going to get worse. By the way, here's an article from Harad. It says, and it's talking about a quote, and it says, "You may not be in a religious war with me, but I'm in a religious war with you." This is recalls former CIA interrogator James Mitchell as the views of Al-Qaeda mastermind Khalid Mohammed was interviewed on December the 6th at the American Enterprise Institute before an audience of about 70. Mitchell provided a chilling essential insight into the jihadist worldview currently threatening the globe. "You may not be in a religious war with me, but I am in a religious war with you." AEI President Fellow Mark A. Thiessen introduced Mitchell as someone who has spent thousands of hours with this Mr. Mohammed and other senior Al-Qaeda operatives and looked directly into the face of this evil. Mitchell concurred that Khalid Mohammed, considered the leading technical genius behind the devastating September the 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, was a devil and a diva whom Mitchell and other interrogators called mug after the Arabic word for brain, comparing him to a Star Wars Jedi master recruiting jihadist Jedi warriors. Mitchell found him immensely charming, and he reminded me of Yoda. Yeah, that is often how evil looks. Now, think about this for a second, guys. A lot of these Muslims that come over here are not radicalized until they get here. And they get in these groups in our country, and they become radical Muslims. And a lot of them, at that point, turn right back around and go back into the Muslim countries, and they do jihad against other Muslims or in Europe with other Muslims. So what we have is a situation where we're allowing this culture that was already driven out of Europe back in 1492 to come back into our country and back into Europe and infiltrate again. I remember we were at Alhambra, which was in Spain. We took a cruise ship there one time years ago. Gosh, this was 20 years ago. And we went to the Queen Isabel, I think it was Isabel. I think she was the same one who had given Columbus the money to go to the Americas. And this actually happened in 1492. That's how I remember all these names. And she actually was given the keys to Alhambra, this Muslim stronghold, this fort, so to speak. Very beautiful place, by the way, to leave when the Muslims were leaving Europe and going back into Africa and the Middle East, and they were forced out of Spain and forced out of Europe. Now, it's because of this holy war they constantly want to incite that gives them this direction and guidance to go into other countries and to basically proselytize the population to become Muslims. I have another friend of mine, and he basically is an older man now, and he is Muslim, and now he's got like a full-grown beard, which is one of the things they teach their men to do. And I don't even know the spiritual significance of that. And I thought to myself, how interesting. I haven't seen this guy for 6 months now. He has a full-grown beard, and he's in his 60s. And I thought, wow, I wonder who he's been talking to. I wonder why he's doing this now, because he was always clean-shaven for all the years that I've known him. So, guys, listen to me for a second. Different cultures. I'm not saying that one culture is better than another culture. I'm not saying that. You guys all know my Christian beliefs. You know how I feel. Gosh, I've prayed with you dozens of times on this show. So you know my convictions and how I feel. I'm saying that different cultures are different. And when you try to intermix these cultures, it ends up causing all kinds of problems for both cultures. Especially one culture is basically bent on jihad or a holy war of proselytizing people into their religion either by force or by conviction. And they don't care how they do it. With Christianity, we may go into another country. We may try to teach the people there who Jesus Christ was. But we don't tell them that if they don't accept Jesus Christ, that we're going to kill them. We don't do that. And so when these groups of people who practice jihad do this, and they go around the world doing this, and now they're in Germany, and Germany's basically canceling New Year's celebrations all across Germany because of this, because the women may not be dressed properly in their burqa, or they may not have their heads covered, and so they don't want to have them raped or beaten again. So rather than have all these things happen, Germany is going in and canceling a bunch of the New Year celebrations. I mean, really? So now they're going to capitulate to a foreign group of people who Angela Merkel brought in, thinking that's going to be okay. Not okay to me. Guys, I want to thank you for the support you've given Health Masters. I want to thank Sharon for being with me so much the last couple of weeks on the show. She's such an incredible asset to our marriage, or my life, my relationship, everything. I'm so blessed to have a wife like her. I also want to thank all of you guys for being here and listening to our show and supporting us. I also want to thank you guys, so many of you, for just getting your multiple vitamins from us. And if you really want to burn that body fat, this is starting next week, HGH Stimulate. It stimulates the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone. That's why it's called HGH Stimulate, which makes the body burn fat like you wouldn't believe. It's like putting fat in a microwave. It burns it so quick. It's kind of like when you were 15 to 16 years old, and you had a lot of HGH and your body was growing, and you could eat almost anything you wanted to eat and burn body fat. It's not that good as far as just ability to put out new HGH, but it really helps you get strong in the gym, and it really helps you to burn body fat. So guys, I pray that God blesses you this coming year. I pray that His face shines upon Him. I pray that He gives you peace in all the areas of your life, that He gives you goals and direction for all your finances and for all your personal relationships. I pray that you're blessed beyond measure, shaken down, running over, so your cup cannot contain it. Guys, I love you so much. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next year. God bless.